Hi, welcome to Pitt Town Church. We are so glad that you're listening to this podcast. We pray that this sermon encourages you in your walk with Jesus. If you would like more information, check out our website at www.pitttownchurch.com.
Hey guys, I'm Jono and we'll be bringing you the Bible reading tonight. So I encourage you to get your phones or your Bibles out, and it's from Luke chapter 1. Reading from verses 26 to 56. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "You are the most blessed of women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. She who has believed is blessed, because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, because he has looked with favour on the humble condition of his slave. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, mindful of his mercy, just as he spoke to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months, then she returned to her home.
Hello everyone, how are you going? Good.
Great,
that's good. Good, thank you. That's nice. That's polite. If we haven't met, my name is Trav. I'd love to begin this time in prayer. Why don't you join with me as we pray together? Heavenly Father, we pray now that as we open up this passage from Luke's Gospel, would you help us to understand the things that you've written for us to read and understand? Would you help us to be convicted by them, by the power of your Spirit? And Lord, we pray that we might respond faithfully to them. And we pray all this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever had the experience where you've been walking around your house and you find yourself in a room and you don't know why you're there. Does that ever happen to anyone? You know, you're walking around and you just think, why am I here? There was a reason, but I can't remember what it is. Or I wonder if you've ever had the experience when you're driving along in your car and it suddenly dawns on you that you don't remember what's happened the last 5 minutes. You know, somehow you're here, still going where you're meant to be going, but you've just switched on into autopilot and your body has just done the driving for you, and your brain has just clocked off 5 minutes down the road. It's wild, right? When you're in the familiar, whether it's walking around at home or driving a car, maybe the streets that you know, when you're in the familiar, it's easy to switch into autopilot mode. But I wonder if you've ever had the experience when you've been driving down the road and suddenly you hear a siren getting louder and louder in the background. That'll definitely startle you and get you alert and awake, right? Is this for me? Do I have to pull over and let the ambulance go by? What's going on here? Because when the unexpected interrupts the expected, then you pay attention and you find out what's going on here. Maybe it's the unexpected punchline to a joke that makes you pay attention and laugh. Maybe it's the unexpected twist in a movie or a book that you're reading that makes you pay attention to what's going on. Maybe it's the unexpected proposal. Maybe it's the unexpected gift. When the unexpected interrupts the expected, then you pay attention. And today we're looking at a couple of very unexpected things. We're looking at a couple of unexpected pregnancies together. And I think it could be really easy for us to switch into autopilot when we read about this, particularly Mary's visit from Gabriel today, because this is the Christmas story. We've all heard this before, right? It might feel like Christmas in July. We just got in there, July 31. And we've heard this story a million times, whether you've been coming to church for ages or this is your very first time here. You know, maybe at Christmas time you've been sitting there hearing a message just like this, thinking, you know, I really hope that insert friend or family member's name is paying attention right now. But even if you haven't been to church before, you've probably seen this before in some kind of nativity scene where kids are dressed up as Mary and Joseph and Batman. Like, we've seen this all before, but this story is a shock. It's meant to be shocking. As Chris said last week, God's people have been waiting for him to put an end to this issue of sin and all of their struggles of humanity. They've been waiting to an end to the long night. And it's finally arrived. But how it arrives is just as shocking. So last week, we kicked off the start of this gospel where, after Luke's brief intro, he sets the scene that we're in this period, this time period of King Herod of Judea. It's a specific period of time. It can be referenced. It can be looked up. It can be verified. The days of King Herod of Judea. Luke wants to provide people with confidence. That's what he says in his intro. He says that to Theophilus, that you might have confidence in the things that you've heard. This isn't a made-up place. This isn't a made-up time. You can double check all of this. We can double check all of this. And Luke then continues to introduce us to a couple who haven't been able to have kids their whole lives. Now they're old. I really like how Zechariah puts it when he talks about his wife Elizabeth, and he says that she's well along in years. Isn't that lovely? I'm going to have to remember that when my wife's old. Well along in years. That's lovely. And so Luke establishes, right, they're old, they're both old, but God's going to interrupt the expected way of things. We're old, barren, married couples who've been trying to have kids forever don't normally suddenly just have kids. That doesn't normally happen. There are many older couples in our church, I'm sure, are glad that that doesn't just normally happen, that you spontaneously have kids when you're old. And so last week we read about the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah, and he appeared in God's special place in the sanctuary. And Gabriel says to him that Elizabeth is going to bear a child. And this is so amazing, so unexpected, right? A visit from an angel, a miracle blessing from God, all very unexpected. And no doubt Theophilus has been hearing about a lot of unexpected things going on, some pretty wild and crazy stuff that he's heard, that Luke's saying, I want to give you confidence about the stuff that you've heard so you'll know what is true
Because it does. It sounds wild and crazy. And here he's saying there's been a visit from an angel. There's been a miracle blessing from God. And then we hear Gabriel say that the child's name will be John. John, this is where the gospel of Jesus starts. Visit from angel, miracle, blessing from God, plot twist, not Jesus. But it's all still very unexpected. Elizabeth's going to conceive a child called John. He's going to be a super impressive guy, of course, but it's not Jesus. This isn't the Jesus birth miracle. So Luke continues where we heard the beginning of our reading today in verse 26 and says that during the 6 month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Gabriel has been sent by God again. Oh boy, we know what happens when this guy turns up, right? Wild things. But even before you think that you can start predicting what's going to happen, the unexpected continues. It shifts into the next gear. Because this time, Gabriel doesn't turn up to God's temple. Gabriel doesn't turn up to a fancy place full of God's servants. He turns up to a normal town in Galilee called Nazareth. And we read that Gabriel is appearing this time not to an old priest, but to a young woman, quite likely to be about 16 years old, just a teenage girl. This is pretty different than before. And this isn't a particularly remarkable teenage girl at that. She's not a priestess. She's not an empress. She's not a prophetess. She's not a princess. And all we know that Luke tells us is that her fiancé, Joseph, is from the house of David. So, you know, he's got that going for him. He's from the line of this great king of Israel. That's good for him. But we're not talking about him. We're talking about a teenage virgin girl who all we're told about is called Mary. Gabriel appears to the priest before and to this teenage girl now. That's pretty different. And Gabriel's arrived, and just like Zechariah, Mary's troubled and fearful because, of course, it's an angel. Who wouldn't be? That'd be wild. And then we get Gabriel's message to Mary saying that there's a promise of another miraculous birth. And we read once again, Gabriel takes care of the whole naming a baby issue, such a problem for parents. I'll take that off your hands. Here's a name for you. This one's going to be called Jesus. This is it. This is the Jesus that Theophilus has been hearing things about, the one that Luke wants to write to him about. And we see that this child is very different from the other. Two incredible birth stories, angel appearing, miraculous birth, but these children will be very different. John was going to turn people to the Lord their God, like a prophet. John will go before God in the spirit and power of Elijah, like a prophet, the prophet Elijah. John will make ready a people for the Lord, a prepared people. He was getting people ready for God. And that's all special and it's unexpected. But Jesus is going to be different. This is ramping up into the next level. Gabriel says that his name will be Jesus, but he's also going to be called the Son of the Most High. Not just a normal son. Jesus will be God's own son living amongst us. That's amazing. Now, just a little side note here. Jesus will be the son of Mary, but Jesus is not going to be the godson of Mary. The Bible doesn't say that Mary's going to be the mother of God, as if God has a mum. It says that her son will be called Jesus. She'll be the mother of Jesus, but that the son will also be called the Son of the Most High, God's son. That's not the same thing. But here, Gabriel is declaring the divinity of Jesus. Son of God, not like a prophet. This is way more different. John didn't get that. Next, Gabriel says God will give Jesus the throne of his father David, meaning that he's the true heir of David. Jesus is going to be a king, just like David was, ruling over all of God's people. And it says over the house of Jacob. But more than that, right? Gabriel continues and he says that both the reign of this child will have no end and the kingdom will have no end. Not just for God's people, but for everyone and everywhere. Amazing. This child Jesus is definitely not the same as the child John that we read about earlier. John was meant to get people ready for God. Jesus is the Son of God. The child John will be like a mighty prophet preparing people for the reign of this new king. Jesus will be the king reigning over everyone and everything. And so while the account from Luke begins with these two miraculous, incredible birthing stories, conceptions, they are not the same. And so if when the unexpected interrupts the expected, you're to pay attention. What about when the very unexpected interrupts the already unexpected? Because the very unexpected has happened. And it's shocking because it's true. And when the very unexpected and the shocking and the unique happens, we ought to not just pay attention, but respond to it. This is once in a lifetime stuff in anyone's lifetime. See, when we look at the response as well between Zechariah and Mary, we can see this again, because on the surface, their response seems kind of the same. Right? Zechariah, he's really just asking God, how is this going to be possible? And Mary asks, you know, how is this going to be possible? And yet Zechariah gets struck mute and can't speak because he didn't believe Gabriel's words. So how's that fair? What's going on there? Well, in Zechariah's case, what Gabriel said to him, that his barren wife will be blessed with a child, it's unexpected. It doesn't happen all the time, but it has happened. It's happened, in fact, 5 times already in the Old Testament. Zechariah the priest should know that. We've seen it with Sarah pregnant with Isaac. We've seen it Rebecca pregnant with Jacob, Rachel with Joseph, Hannah with Samuel, Manoah's wife with Samson. So this doesn't happen all the time, but it has happened. God can do this. He has done this quite a few times before. But in Mary's case, this has never happened. Never has, never will again. This isn't just an unexpected thing breaking into the expected. This is the very extreme unexpected. And she knows how babies are made, right? She's aware when Gabriel says that you'll conceive a son. She knows there's a few steps that are missing in that process. And so it's right, it's reasonable that she would ask and say, I have never seen this before. How is this going to work? What are we even talking about here? This isn't just like an empty fridge has somehow got food and milk in it. I can understand that concept. This is like the empty, unused fridge still in the department store, still in the box, has somehow got the child of God in it. There is no concept for this. It is impossible. This is silly. How is this going to work? The very unexpected has happened. And so Gabriel explains what's going on this time. And he says in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And that's all he says about it. And that's the only question that Mary asks. And I don't know about you, but I reckon I'd have a few more questions to ask at this point. If it were me, there'd be a few questions I'd want to ask Gabriel while he was still around. See, when we read Elizabeth's response earlier when she's told she's going to have a baby, in verse 25, she says, He has looked with favor in those days to take away my disgrace among the people. That was Elizabeth's response, because for in this time, in the days of King Herod of Judea, there was an expectation for married women to have kids. She was old and she was married and she should have had them by this time. And so it was shameful. There were no career women around at this time, and to be barren, to be unable to conceive, was considered shameful. You know, maybe she had done something that displeased God and he's not going to bless her in this way. Now, we already know that this isn't true, not just from good theology in church, but even in Luke, he makes sure to say back in verse 6 that they're both righteous, Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were living according to the commands and requirements of the Lord. All right, this isn't a punishment thing. That's not what's going on. It's important for us to know that too, because no doubt there are many people, whether in this room or in our lives, that struggle with this issue of infertility. It's not a curse. It's not a punishment. But that was Elizabeth's response, and that was the context that she was living in, where it was shameful to not have a child. And so she says, he's looked on me with favor in those days to take away my disgrace amongst the people. But for Mary, she's a virgin and she is unmarried, unmarried officially, which means that her miraculous pregnancy will actually bring her shame. She's engaged to Joseph, which has another cultural significance then that's a bit different to us now. They're actually considered married legally during this engagement. They haven't consummated their marriage, but we find out in Matthew chapter 1 in the account there of the story that Joseph was considering divorcing Mary quietly. Not breaking off the engagement, but divorcing her, he says, so that she wouldn't be exposed to public disgrace. That's what's on the cards there for Mary. For Elizabeth, her shame, she says, is taken away amongst the people. But for Mary, that shame is coming. But even more than that, because the fact that they're engaged, the fact that they're legally married, means that this pregnancy could be seen as infidelity on her part. Being unfaithful to her husband, which was punishable by death. So that's on the cards for Mary. Like I said, I reckon at this stage there might have been a few more questions I might have had. How is this going to work? Will I be safe? What's going to happen to me? Is Joseph going to stick around? But not Mary. We read Mary's response and she just says, I am the Lord's slave. May it be done to me according to your word. That's pretty remarkable. It's pretty incredible for a teenage girl to be responding in that way when hearing that news. However difficult or hard her future might be, God has chosen her for this incredible task and she just accepts it with faith and hope in the Lord. That whatever her future might look for her, God has shown her favor and she knows that nothing is impossible for God. That bumper sticker phrase that we see all the time, people say, yeah, God can do anything and he can do anything for me because nothing's impossible. No, nothing's impossible for him to do what he wants, the way he wants to do it. You know, whether it be to keep her from disgrace, or maybe just to help her endure through it. Nothing's impossible for God. He can do what he wants. And it's amazing to think that while she's there claiming that her son was miraculously born, you know, as the child arrives and everyone can kind of do the math in their head and think, you guys hadn't actually consummated your marriage by this stage. And she's like, yeah, this is God, this is the Holy Spirit, right? Miracle baby, this is the Son of God. People thinking, yeah, right, sure it is. That doesn't happen. And she won't even be vindicated of that until Jesus dies and rises again as the risen Lord. Isn't that remarkable? That's what's ahead of her in her life. Incredible faith and trust in God's plans for her. Which then we see that she sings a song where she expounds all of this joy and gladness to be serving God, to be his humble slave, what's known as the Magnificat, where she sings and draws on scripture from the Old Testament, from Psalms and prophecy. So rich, and I wish we had more time to get into it. But she begins in verse 47. She says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his slave." That's her response, in spite of not getting any of these other answers to the questions that I might have about what's going to happen to her. She just says, "How great is the Lord?" And she confesses as well that she's not perfect or without sin, as some would claim. She rejoices in God, her Savior. She's in need of a Savior. We're in need of a Savior. And here she rejoices. She gets to be part of bringing that Savior into the world, being part of God's plans for rescue and redemption. And she rejoices that whatever hardship that might bring, whatever difficulties ahead, that God has shown her favor and includes her in that redemptive plan. And she continues that all nations will call her blessed because of God, because of who he is, because of what he's doing. And you see it in her song as she talks about his holiness and his mercy and his mighty deeds and his power and his generosity. The very unexpected has happened here in the conception of Jesus. And Mary gets a key part in what's happening, but it's so that we pay attention to God. It's so that we pay attention to this child being born who's called Jesus, who's come into this world. And it's not just unexpected, it's shocking because it's true. It happened. It is real. This wasn't just some story. Luke has done his research and he is telling us these things to give us confidence of these things that are so extraordinary. They have never happened before. They will never happen again. Things so very unexpected. That God would come into our world to deliver us from our problem of sin. And isn't that shocking as well? That God came into this world for people who were his enemies, for sinners, broken people like us. So what will our response to this shocking event be? It's a once-in-a-lifetime event, once-in-a-history event. What will we do with that? How will we pay attention to this? Maybe this is something that you've never responded to before, and you might be a little bit like Zechariah and Mary. You might have a question or two that you need to work through about this. How is this possible? How is God going to do this? How is God going to love someone like me? How is God going to forgive someone like me? If that's you, then as Katie said before, we've got our Introducing Jesus course in a couple of weeks. That's a great opportunity to ask those kinds of questions. You can come and talk to me after the service. You don't have to wait till then and hold your questions to yourself. But that'd be a great opportunity to work through some of those questions about who is Jesus? What did he do? Why did he do it? Maybe whether you're new or not, you just need help taking that next difficult step of trusting God. Trusting him maybe with your whole life, or maybe even just trusting him with part of your life that you're holding on to yourself. Maybe you have that fear, that worry, that concern. What will happen to me when I put my trust in God? Will it be difficult? Will it be shameful? Maybe you need help taking that next step, to give it all to Him, to trust in Him completely. Or maybe you just need encouragement not to switch into autopilot mode when it comes to Jesus. Maybe just like that sense of familiarity walking around your house or driving your car and getting a bit lost and switching into autopilot. Maybe that's been the case for you with following Jesus. Maybe you've been in autopilot mode coming to church or going to small group or even just reading your Bible and praying, and it's just been habitual. And maybe this is that shocking event that you need to just wake up and pay attention to Jesus. Whatever your response, the very unexpected has happened as Jesus came into this world, and there's a response that we all need to make to this shocking truth. Because He did. And He came into this world for sinners like us, like Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah and Luke and Theophilus and me and you. How about we pray together? Father God, we thank You so much that it was while we were sinners and far off that You met us in Your Son Jesus, and that He died for us to reconcile us to You. Because there's nothing that we could do to earn our salvation. And so we're so thankful and so grateful for Your grace, and we're thankful that You did it in an unexpected way to get our attention. This unique event in the Lord Jesus coming. Father, would we not ignore it and dismiss it? Would we never become callous to it? But Lord, would You continue to shock us and awaken our hearts and our minds and our souls to this great truth that You loved us so much that You sent Jesus into the world. And we thank You that He died for our sins and rose to life that we might have life in Him. We pray that as we go out from today, that You would help us to live that life for You each and every day, intentional in praising You and loving You and living for You. And we pray this for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.